Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, this day next month, on the 27th of October, the Dublin City Marathon will kick off. And whether you're a long-distance veteran or embarking on your first foray into marathon running, our experts Mary Jenning from ForgetTheGym.ie and Niall Moyna, who's Professor of Clinical Exercise Physiology in the School of Health and Human Performance at DCU, are with us with all the advice that you need. So, Mary, to you first. A month out, what's the general advice that you're giving to people now who will be heading out on the 27th of October?
Well, hi Claire and Niall. It's exciting times, but also very nerve-wracking times, I think, especially if you're a first-timer, because at the moment you've been building up every week, doing basically the longest run of your life, you know? But now you're at the point where you're nearly at the peak of that top training. So most people who are training for the marathon, certainly a first one or maybe a second or third, have basically two long runs left this weekend and then the following weekend, and then they actually start winding down. So I think what the biggest thing at the moment is to try and take in the best experience you can for these long runs and learn all your lessons now so that you're fresh and ready then for when the day comes.
Yeah, I trained for a marathon years ago and then I didn't do it. And I'll tell you why. My last long run was 18 miles and I felt like the Tin Man after it, Mary. I felt like all my joints were about to seize up and I thought, oh no, I couldn't go further than that. So, yeah. I mean, that's probably the wrong way to do it. but if you feel bad after your longest training run, would it put you off doing the marathon? Should it?
Well, I suppose there's a few things there in that. The first thing, I suppose, what you've highlighted there, it's almost your head telling you there you couldn't do it, wasn't it? You know, your body, you were feeling you kind of had nearly talked yourself out of it. So self-belief is a huge thing, but also accepting that not every long run goes great, but you can learn stuff from each long run. And what people have had over the last few months, or maybe have had a run where things haven't gone to plan, like the one you had there. It's tricky when it's your last long run, because that's your memory nearly of all your training. You're thinking, oh my God, I can't possibly do a step more. But the thing to remember is you will actually have 3 weeks of winding down and your body can rest and repair and recover and it'll be fresh. Because at the moment now, people have had the whole summer of running in their legs. So there is, you're probably at the peak of holding everything together, you know, in that sense.
Yeah, so Niall, you've got to remember then, Niall, that you have the hard work done.
Well, I think that's very, very important. I think there are two types of athletes. There are novice athletes that run the marathon. There's those who diligently prepare and spend the 6 months, and then there's those who decide a month beforehand that they want to run it, whether they're registered or not. I think if you've done the work, I couldn't agree more with Mary. If you've done the work, you probably have maybe one or two long runs in, and then just people are afraid to wind back from training because they've been running so many miles a week. But actually winding back from the training the last 2 weeks, that is hugely beneficial.
But if you find that your long runs are very tough, does there come a point where you would be advising now somebody say, well, look, if this is on, you know, off the scale in terms of how difficult it is, your long run at this stage, should you really be doing that marathon?
Well, you know, the advice I would give, if you've put in the effort and you really want to do it, just cut back on the intensity. I think the big mistake that a lot of people will make in the marathon is that they will go off too hard, you know, with the crowd there that day and everything else. You know, if you're anticipating that you're going to run at 10 minutes per kilometre, I'd say the first 10 kilometres go out at 11 and a half, and I think you will get the rewards at the latter half of the race. I think that's the big issue for a lot of novice runners.
Bob wants to know, are our bodies designed for such punishments and do they do us long-term harm? Do marathons do us long-term harm? Niall, you might take that one for us.
Well, look, running a marathon is an extreme metabolic, physiological, thermoregulatory insult on your body. It really is. Every single organ system is pushed to the limit. So there are a few things, obviously, you need to be aware of. The first is you're going to take on average 40,000 steps, and each of those steps you're pounding your foot into the ground, so you're going to have muscle tears. And after the race, obviously that's going to cause a lot of soreness, but that's normal. But after the race, you're going to have this inflammation going on in your leg, so you're sending your immune cells, you have this inflammatory response where your white blood cells are fixing your damaged muscles. Well, they're not there to fight infection, So you may be at risk of opportunistic infection because you have an a suppressed immune system. Obviously, during the race, it could be 4 to 6 hours, there's a reduced blood flow to your kidney. So your kidney function could be compromised, anything up to 48, 72 hours or beyond that. And I say most importantly, particularly for elderly people, you're placing an enormous volume of blood into your heart every minute, 4 times what you would do at rest, and you're doing it for 6 hours. So that could cause slight remodeling in your, particularly the right side of your heart, where it becomes scarred, and that could induce abnormal rhythms in your heart. So the advice I would give when the race is over, make sure you take plenty of time to recover.
Niall, you're not really selling it to us there. With the honesty.
Look, as I said, it's an extreme. We're not designed, to be honest. If you're asking me, I would say I would rather people run 10, 5Ks a year. But you know something? It's that one challenge. I ran one myself. It's that one challenge you want to see. Yeah, and it's more mental for a lot of people than physical. And it is great to be able to go out there and say, look, I was able to stress myself for 4 or 5 hours. But it's something I wouldn't recommend every month.
Mary, how many marathons have you done?
About 45,
right.
46.
Did Niall put you off there?
I was thinking about it, thinking, oh my goodness. Do you know what came to my mind, Niall, as you were saying that, was the marathon actually, I feel, is so much more than just the day out. And I suppose when I coach marathoners, a bit like Niall says, a lot of people are doing it for the experience and maybe for the first time and maybe thinking, oh, I'll do one and that'll be a ticket off. And I suppose my approach might be a little bit more on the more cautious side. I'd be saying to people, your marathon really is your whole summer of training, everything you've put into it, and your day out is your chance to celebrate the hard work you've done, rather than necessarily to kill yourself in the day, you know, to really push it too much. Because by now people kind of know what their pacing is at. If, as you know, as I mentioned, there's two types of people. If you put the work in now, it will pay off. You know, if you're going to wing it, I agree with Niall, don't wing a marathon. You can wing a 5K or a 10K. But for a marathon, you've got to pace it right. Mm-hmm. And the more you pace it well, the more you work out your food, the more you work out now, you're even right down to your underwear. What are you going to wear? Get all those decisions made now while you can trial them out in training. So all the uncertainties and a lot of those things can be ironed out. So you can then focus on the day, on getting the most out of the day, rather than worrying about what might go wrong. You know, have everything prepared as well as you can.
Everything. I mean, you mentioned underwear there, your socks, you know, how you're going to carry what you need on the day. Are you bringing headphones? All of that. You need to have it absolutely perfectly worked out, don't you, Mary?
Listen, to the extent that I would be saying now to anyone, well, anyone doing the marathon is probably doing a long run this weekend, possibly the longest run of their life. Think about the night before. What are you going to eat the night before marathon day? And eat that the night before your long run this weekend. The same for your breakfast. What are you planning on having that day? What gap of time will you have between your breakfast and the time you start? Lay out your clothes the night before and even take a photograph of them now in these long runs so that it'll be in your head and you'll have it a reminder when we're a month down the line and you've nearly forgotten these long runs. It's really good to know, well, that's what I have for my dinner. This is my pre-breakfast. This is what I'm going to wear. Even thinking now in your head, how am I going to get to the start line? When am I going to go? Maybe even doing some of their long runs on the route if you're lucky enough to live close by. Maybe even just to be able to visualize it, to be able to get all the logistics done so that you can then focus on the day, on relaxing into the run rather than, you know, thinking, where do I put my socks, you know?
Yeah.
That's my advice to anyone now at this stage.
What about eating then, Niall? I might start with you on this one, because you are going to have to refuel over that distance, but it's what you do and what you eat and what you put into your body, because you're at risk of it not agreeing with you if you haven't done this during your practice runs.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're going to burn around 70 calories per kilometre. And you have 2 fuel tanks. You have 100,000 calories stored as fat, most of us. And you've got about 2,500-3,000 calories stored as glucose. During the marathon, your body will prefer to use the glucose. But hopefully with training, you've taught the body how to use fat. Inevitably, if you're a novice runner, you're starting off, the likelihood is you are going to run out of glucose towards the end of the race. So what I would recommend is that you take some gel or some form of carbohydrate. Now, don't do it for the first time if it's the day of the race. This weekend, long run, or the next weekend, practice taking a gel, see how it feels on your stomach, but then during the race, try to take that as well. So you're trying to maintain your glucose as long as you possibly can, because when you run out, you hit the famous wall.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that wall, but those gels can make some people feel a bit sick, can't they?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, why you should. I mean, don't try them for the first time the day, because I know myself, they don't respond very well. I don't respond very well to ingesting gels. Some people, no problem. So make sure it's not the first day, the day of the marathon, that you've tried it out beforehand.
So what's the alternative then if they don't agree with you?
Well, you know, obviously it's extremely important that you keep yourself hydrated. So do not pass water stations. Now, don't overconsume water either, because that can lead to something called hyponatremia, where you dilute your sodium levels, and that can be very serious. So don't overindulge, and don't wait until you're thirsty. Obviously, the night before, and Mary will probably have alluded to this, is making sure that you're replenishing your carbohydrate stores. But research tells us now that if you've been training 6 months for a marathon, you've been eating a meal every night, the likelihood is if you eat your regular meal the night before, you're probably going to totally fill up your glucose store as well.
Mm-hmm. What about the gels, Mary? Do you use them?
Yeah, I've used them over the years, and I've also combined them with other food. And with the people I coach, I totally agree. Some people can't even look at them. And even if you see some of them have caffeine in them, which doesn't agree with some people. So I've had to look at alternatives for people. And everybody is very individual. And I think it's the experimentation now, and hopefully the last 2 months of experimentation has helped people work out what works for them. So alternatives I've seen are jelly babies, something simple, jelly sweets. Or, I don't know if I can mention names of bars, but, you know, like the Naked bars, or those kind of bars that are combined with, they've basically got nuts and dried fruits and things like that in them. I find them handy, because it needs to be something portable as well. I could say bring a banana, but, you know, having two bananas stuck in your back pocket for a marathon might work. But we've had over the years people who make their own gels out of bananas and sugars and things, and electrolytes as well, you know, the salt tablets that people can pop into their water. I think a very good point to remember on the marathon is there's generally a water station every 5 kilometres. So if you think of that, if you start, if they become your reminders every 5K, I even say to people, give yourself 100 steps. I'm going to walk through the water station. It's hectic anyway. Get my fueling done, have a little bit of something and get going again. You're breaking up your marathon into 8 different sections, 8 different refueling spots. And I think if you start early, like Niall talked about, the wall that people talk about there.
Yes, tell us about that.
I've never hit it in 45 marathons. So, I think I'm too nice to myself, maybe. But no, I'll be honest, it's two things. And as Niall mentioned in a more probably scientific way, if I turn it into the very basics, your body, if you're going at the right pace and if you've got enough fuel being drip fed into you, you'll keep on the steady. But once you kind of burn that fuel, as Niall talked about, your fat stores and your glucose stores, once you burn that up, your body has to slow everything else down in order to keep its basic functions going. So my aim is, when I'm running, is to keep those stores up, tick them along from the start so that I don't dip. So it's watching your pacing, not starting too fast, and even looking at your long run paces over the last month and what's my average pace of my long run. You can probably maintain that pace for the marathon, but it's very, very tempting in the first couple of miles of a marathon, when there's a big crowd, when you have your legs resting for the last few weeks, and when everyone else around you is buzzing, to just take off for those first 5K. And then you suddenly think, wow.
But don't, is the advice. Don't.
But don't.
Well, listen, great to talk to you both, and good luck to everyone who is taking part. That's Mary Jennings there from forgetthegym.ie and Niall Moyna from DCU. A couple of messages on this. A 60-year-old listener recently completed a 21-hour foot race. A 21-hour foot race. A month later, I'm fine. No one should be afraid of a marathon, they say. Brian has run 7 marathons. Each time on the run, I think I'm not ready, but trust the process and enjoy the taper. Better to be fresh than fit going into it. I ran the Westport Marathon in April, and I text my friend to ask, was it normal to be absolutely shattered after an 8K run a week out from the marathon? And she assured me that it was completely normal. So that's all about pulling back in the 2 weeks beforehand, as Mary explained. Right, we'll take a break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.